The Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection released findings today from their greenhouse gas inventory report. In 2020, Connecticut's greenhouse gas emissions fell 10% below levels from 1990, but there's still a long way to go. DEEP Commissioner Katie Dykes says the state needs to set higher goals for sectors to achieve a 100% zero carbon electric grid by 2040.
The most important, I think, is to bring our Global Warming Solutions Act in line with the carbon emission requirements of other neighboring states by enabling us to adopt sector sub-targets.
The transportation, electricity, and residential thermal sectors are responsible for almost 75% of Connecticut's greenhouse gas emissions. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. A new report finds LIPA going public would improve affordability. Officials are waiting to schedule a new lottery round for recreational cannabis retailers and the important role that salt marshes play in combating climate change. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Converting the Long Island Power Authority to a public model will improve accountability and affordability, according to a draft report published by a legislative commission. WSHU's Zania Gonickberg has more.
The report found that transforming the Long Island Power Authority to a public model would be beneficial for customers. It estimates LIPA's annual savings could be up to $78 million if the switch to public is made. Ryan Madden is the sustainability organizer for the Long Island Progressive Coalition. He says LIPA's current public-private model is not sustainable.
And for good reason. This model doesn't exist elsewhere is because it's inefficient and it's more costly and it's unaccountable.
The report cites power outages caused by recent storms as a reason to implement these changes. A hearing is scheduled to take place this Friday in Nassau County. Zinia Gonickberg, WSHU News.
Connecticut officials say they're waiting before scheduling a new lottery round for recreational marijuana retailers. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
A spokesperson for the State Department of Consumer Protection told Hearst Connecticut Media they haven't scheduled a second round. She says they're looking at changes to social equity criteria in the lottery process. There were 13 recreational marijuana dispensaries in Connecticut, and the state has issued 35 licenses in total. Lawmakers told Hearst it made sense to wait until after the current legislative session because laws could change and it would avoid saturating the market. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Connecticut officials say they now have to ship 860,000 tons of waste out of state to places like Pennsylvania. A bill before the state legislature would create a new central waste-to-energy facility to replace a Hartford plant that closed last year. State Representative Joe Gresko chairs the State Environment Committee.
It makes no sense to truck food waste and basically water several hundred miles to a landfill in Ohio or Pennsylvania when we have the capacity of dealing with it here, and it could turn into something that is useful, meaning compost, and hopefully generate some funding for the state and a company.
A proposal that would push companies to be more responsible with their packaging has not advanced. Connecticut is home to thousands of acres of salt marsh. More on how local researchers are working to protect these important ecosystems after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The U.S. Supreme Court has sided with Connecticut and will allow a dredging disposal site to be put in the eastern Long Island Sound. New York recreational and commercial fishers say the decision would bring toxic hazards to marine life. The Long Island Association will offer free 6-month memberships to East End businesses with 10 or fewer employees. LIA officials say the goal is to expand their outreach in that area of Long Island and attract more hospitality companies to join. Connecticut-based Sikorsky Aircraft says it will end its protest over the loss of an Army contract for helicopters. Lockheed Martin says they will not file a lawsuit protesting the contract awarded to rival Bell, which will replace the Black Hawk helicopter. Bell and parent company Textron will supply the Army with a new aircraft as part of the Future Long Range Assault Aircraft program. Salt marshes play an outsized role in fighting climate change, and they're an important part of New England's ecosystem. To survive, they'll have to adapt to warmer temperatures and higher sea levels. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports researchers in Connecticut are trying to build a more resilient salt marsh, starting with some cube-shaped greenhouses.
Employees of the Maritime Aquarium in Norwalk are in an alcove out back by the river. They're building greenhouses.
Cutting PVC to shape, cutting greenhouse plastic, and assembling these 1-meter volume cubes.
That's Justin Sisarchik with the aquarium. His colleague Reba Ravaraj fires up a power saw and cuts a short piece of PVC pipe.
And basically that's to create stilts for the chamber. So we want those raised in the salt marsh to allow water flow.
We will also be painting these green so that they're less harsh looking in the marshes.
Inside the cubes will be many different strains of Spartina alterniflora, better known as cordgrass. Dr. Sarah Crosby leads this experiment. She takes me a few yards away to the banks of the Norwalk River.
Down here. So this is bits of it sort of all washed up in here. But you can see peeking out of the rocks, little pockets of cordgrass. But across the way here, there's a big sort of expanse of it.
Crosby says cordgrass is the most important plant in the salt marsh, the one that holds everything together. And salt marshes, in return, hold a lot else together.
Oh my gosh, so salt marshes are one of the most productive ecosystems on the planet.
Indigenous people have used them to fish, hunt deer, and forage for oysters and clams. Salt marshes also protect waterside communities from storm damage and beach erosion.
They're also tremendous carbon sinks. Salt marshes themselves are storing carbon and absorbing nutrients that would otherwise be negatively impacting the estuary.
About 50 times more carbon than a normal forest, which all gets released back into the air if the salt marsh dies.
And cordgrass is the plant in the marsh that is the foundation on which all of the other plants are developing. So without a happy, healthy cordgrass population, the rest of it falls apart.
Cordgrass is threatened by climate change. It could be drowned by rising sea levels. So across New England, researchers are looking at a lot of potential ways to make it more resilient, like introducing better prepared plants.
So taking organisms from farther south and moving up them up here with the expectation that they will deal with warmer temperatures better than the plants that are here currently.
That's Randall Hughes of Northeastern University. She's working with the Maritime Aquarium on the study. They're planting cordgrass from nurseries down south, like the Carolinas or Georgia, in those greenhouses alongside native Connecticut cordgrass.
I'm really curious to see if these southern plants actually do better under warming. Like, is it really so simple that we can just take some from farther south and move them up here?
Some of this is already happening.
Sarah Crosby says it's easy to think of salt marshes as untouched, but like it or not, plants are always jumping from place to place, often spread by people. And salt marshes often sit by some of the most developed land in New England, a fact we can't help noticing as trains from the Metro North Railroad keep interrupting our interview.
Here in Norwalk, you can see that the train tracks sort of run right through the middle of the harbor, but if you take the Metro North up towards Boston, you can see that you're cutting through salt marsh actually through most of your journey. And actually a lot of salt marsh historically was lost because of our development of infrastructure like train tracks and the highways.
New England has more than 100,000 acres of salt marsh, but NASA estimates the world has lost more than 560 square miles of salt marsh over the last 20 years, the equivalent of about 2 soccer fields every hour.
there's a growing understanding of how important these habitats are. And the better we can make those restoration activities happen, then these marshes are going to be around for generations to come. We just have to give them the tools and the genetics that they need to be able to do it.
Researchers will put greenhouses out in May at 8 salt marshes in Connecticut and monitor them throughout the summer. Crosby says they expect to see some results this fall. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org or with the new and improved WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas you want to share with us, please feel free to reach out. Our email is news@WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.